So this is as far as the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes when it comes to moving from point A to point B. You have a fixed point A, point B, be focused. How, what is your speed is also governed by the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today people are asking, hey, Mufti Sahab, can we pay speeding fines with interest? Oh, subhanallah. You incur something upon yourself. Imagine if we had to say yes. Imagine if anyone had to say yes. I think the Muslims would be moving at 300. I saw a Golf a few days ago, I sat in one, and I actually saw the odometer goes all the way to 300, the speedo. The speedo goes to 300, and I said, subhanallah. He said, no, they just got a figure. I said, no, figure. They wouldn't have put it there. Surely it goes somewhere 250. To me, it is not permissible to go at that speed. It's not permissible. It's not allowed. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Never put yourselves into destruction by the doing of your own hands. May Allah guide those who are smoking to leave it. May Allah help them. Wallahi, I tell you, it's something very bad. And we all know it, and I've discussed it in the past. We don't hate the people who smoke, but we hate the deed. I always say that. In Islam, you distinguish between the person and the deed. Sometimes people do bad. If you hate him, you will never ever win him over. But if you hate the deed, you will continue talking to him, and inshallah, one day you will win him and the deed, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of that. Like a child urinates, your own child. What do? You don't hate the child. You start nappy training them, isn't it? And once, twice, thrice, they might urinate in the lounge on the brand new carpet. You won't clap them up. You know, nappy training, never mind. Error, mistake. But if you hated the child, that child would have left you a long time ago and you'd have left the child. But subhanallah, you are interested in removing a quality but keeping the goodness of the child. That's what we should do in deen. When you see someone doing wrong, you don't hate the person. You hate the deed. But that person still says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why I always say the ulama amongst you, they are not anbiya. They will have one or two issues which you might not like. But you must respect the knowledge that they have. You must respect the sacrifice that they have made. And that is how you will gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us the understanding. Let me move on to another point. The business of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did he conduct business? I want to say this because most of us deal in one way or another. We either deal or we either wheel and deal. One of the two. So I hope it's not wheeling and dealing. So what happens? If we take a look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, we will find that prior to Nubuwwah, he was a businessman. No, it is incorrect to say he was just a businessman. But what I mean is that he engaged in business. He was an importer and an exporter. We all know he took goods from this region to that region, to the north. And from the north, he brought it down to the south. And he used to buy and sell. So much so that he was so successful. He was the talk of the town and the talk of the region, that the lady who had sent him in order to work for her was so amazed and bewildered and baffled with what type of returns he came with, that she had to propose to marry him. This teaches us many lessons. One is, O fathers of daughters, it's a bigger lesson. Understand that it is not just that you give your daughter a sentence to sit at home and wait for proposals. If you see a suitable person, put your tail between your legs and get up and go and propose for him. I am interested in your son for my daughter. That is Islam. We have a culture sometimes that trains us otherwise to say the daughters must just sit at home and wait for proposals. What are we doing? The poor daughter might never get married. It's against the sunnah. It's against Islam. In Islam, ijab wal qabul, we can have it on either side. One party does this and the other accepts. The initial proposal can come from this side or that side. You are the men, you see young men in the masjids. Who sees your daughter? By right, she's supposed to be sitting in the house. I'm talking of by strict right. No one knows about her, but you know about the other men. So you know I've got a daughter. So now I'm seeing this man here. Let me go and see him. Let me study him for a month, 2 months. And now I know that they are of a similar level. Let me go to the father and say, listen, you've got a daughter. Or I've got a daughter, you've got a son. I'm interested in getting them married. There's nothing wrong. Why must culture stop us from that? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. But the lesson connected to today's topic is that, what type of businessman must he have been? Today when you do business for someone, when you do very well, either you open your own thing after a little while or you are fired. Subhanallah. It happens. Why? Because you're not the boss and you're making bigger bucks than the boss could have. It's a fact. But when it came to Khadijah binti Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, she was older, but she put forward the proposal, and you know what? It was accepted. So imagine what type of a woman she must have been. What type of an employer and employee that the two actually did not even bat an eyelid and they got married, yet it would have been regarded as taboo otherwise to have married someone so much older than you. Amazing. There's something about it. This is the khuluq azim that is spoken about in the Quran. The great character and conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me take it further. When he did business, he was so honest. He used to make a record of everything. He had hisab and kitab of every single issue that went up or down. Everything was there. Another thing, there are two ways of doing business. Okay, before we get to that, so it is sunnah to take proper accounts, to know what is happening. Sunnah of Rasul, very big ibadah. Even though you are in business, it is a very big ibadah to know what is happening. Even after Nubuwwah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed this. Someone might argue and say, no, that was before Nubuwwah, it's not a sunnah. Because sunnah is only that which happened after Nubuwwah. I tell you, his life was such that he never ever did anything wrong from the point of birth. Allah saved him and Allah protected him. Now, let me take it even further. Two ways of doing business. One is large profit, small turnover. The other is small profit, large turnover. Which one do you think is sunnah? First or second? The second, immediately, subhanallah, we heard it. Why? Because when you have a large profit and a small turnover, how many people are you helping? Look, I'm selling Coke for 20 rands. Who's going to buy from me? I need to be in the big mall in Sandton to do that, isn't it? But 10, 15 people will buy from me. 20 people will buy from me. Yes, at the end of the day, I helped 15 people and I helped myself. And my profit is still 500 rands because the quantity was less. But if I sell a Coke for the going price and even a little bit less, I've made a small profit. But how many people bought from me? 1,000 people bought from me. So today, I helped myself and I helped 1,000 people and my profit is still the same, subhanallah. So what is better? What do you think is sunnah? So all you who have businesses, listen to one thing. You squeeze someone, Allah will squeeze you. Rahimallahu mri'in samhan idha ba'a samhan idha ishtara. Allah will have mercy upon someone who is considerate when selling and considerate when buying. That means when you are selling your goods, consider the person who is going to buy from you. Is he a person who, or for example, I'm selling to this region, this place. How have I priced my goods? Are they beyond the reach? And if they are within the reach, am I making too big a profit? Wallahi, it is not haram to sell your goods very expensive. It's not haram, but it's not sunnah. The barakah of your deal will be less. It will go away. And that is why today, because we like to rip off the people, we get ripped off. How? I tell you how. You made 1,000 rands. You got it in your pocket. You counted the notes. Hey, I made a grand today. MashaAllah. And what happens? Where it went, you don't know. Why? Because you squeezed it. Allah squeezed it out of you. Barakah was gone. You want barakah? I tell you, help as many people. You will find your cash and carry will be full. And what will happen when you get in the money? You will have so much. You will spend here, spend there, and spend there, and you'll still have a balance. You say, Allahu Akbar, Ya Allah, you granted me barakah in my wealth. So that is the sunnah method even of pricing your goods. There is a sunnah. To say, think before you are pricing it. And I said, samhan idha ishtara. When someone comes to you to sell their goods, you are a rich businessman. You know his profit is so much percent. His cost is 100 rands and he's selling it to you for 105 rands. Very reasonable. But you squeeze him. I'm buying bulk. Give it to me at 103 rands. Give it to me at 101 rands. You're squeezing the man. He has a family. He has water bills. He has light bills. He has school fees to pay. He has so many other things. You rather say, listen, you want 105, I give you 105. And if you want to be better, say, no, you are my Muslim brother, I'll give you 106. Go and spend it in the path of Allah. Allah used you to help someone to fulfill his own farad. Subhanallah. He might make hajj one day because you helped him giving the prophets. Allahu Akbar. Don't think you will not get a reward for that. It is definitely for you also. You gave him good business. Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my dear businessmen, don't go out and squeeze people in such a manner that you have lost track. We must be good. People must know that this is Islam. These are the Muslims. These people are honest. They are with their words. There was a time when our fathers and forefathers were alive, when anyone would give any Muslim any amount of goods on tick, credit. Don't we agree? Today, Muslim, no, that one don't give him. Muslims will tell you, Muslim, don't even cash his check, it will bounce. Fact or not? Wallahi, fact. Because we lost the sunnah. We are known as thugs and gangsters and everything. We lost the sunnah. We are no more the professionals we were supposed to be. We've lost direction. We think sunnah only means come to the masjid. That's what I was saying. Come to the masjid is there, you cannot do without it. But it you build on it with all these issues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this to us. And I could go on and on about business. But let me quickly look at the employer-employee relation. You know when Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mentioned this hadith in Cape Town the last time I came. خَدِمْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ فَمَا قَالَ لِيَ أُفٍّ قَطُّ وَمَا قَالَ لِشَيْءٍ صَنَعْتُهُ لِمَ صَنَعْتَهُ. I served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. Never ever did he utter a word to me out of turn, a negative word, not even one. Or oomph, not even once. Today our maids and our those domestics whom we have in our homes, they work for us. Every day we accuse them of this, that, the earrings go missing. Oh, it must have been her. Typical. That is a test from Allah. Watch out. Watch how you are talking. Watch how you are relating to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us. Can I go further? If you take a look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Khadija binti Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, he worked with dignity, respect. Whatever he had agreed, he fulfilled. Whatever she agreed, she fulfilled. That in itself is a great lesson to us. You are working for someone or someone is working for you. Fulfill your rights on either side. It's a large topic. I can't go into it today. And the last thing before I close is the laughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, it is important that I say this. So allow me a few minutes. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living in the midst of everyone, do you think that he was so serious that he never ever laughed? No, he was a human. Sometimes he cracked jokes so others laughed. And it is reported, hatta badat nawajidu, until his back teeth were showing. They actually showed. He had such a broad smile. So it is sunnah to smile. Now, have you ever read, or do you think there is a hadith which says he laughed so much that his whole body shook and his whole stomach shook for 5 minutes? Huh? Never, because that is not a perfect example. He laughed according to necessity and he never laughed with more than a slight sound. Never. Why? Let me tell you. When you laugh too much with so much sound, you become a joke and people know you as a joke. Everything you say, take it lightly. That guy is a joker. Why? You lose respect. It's a fact. Everything you utter is a joke. That also is wrong. When others utter a joke which is within the Sharia, and I'm going to explain to you what is a joke within the Sharia, it is sunnah to laugh at it, even a little. Even to smile, to acknowledge it. Why? Imagine someone cracks a nice joke. And I'll crack a joke at the end before I go, to show you what it is. It's a true story, but at least we will laugh. Imagine I have to say something and people are supposed to laugh at it and everyone just grins, meaning everyone frowns at me. I feel, hey, or some one person or two people frown. I feel there must be something wrong between our hearts. So I created an unnecessary problem. A joke was made, at least look at him and just do this. That's the minimum. So he knows you acknowledged it. Nothing must be in your heart. Someone said something, you don't want to laugh. They're going to say, hey, there's a problem between me and him. Why is he not laughing? So the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when someone says something decent within the limits, a point of laughter that requires you to acknowledge it with a smile or a nod or at least some point of laughter. Subhanallah. Now what are the limits? The limits of joking. Your joke must never offend anyone. No one. Muslim or non-Muslim. You must never mention race in your joke. Never. White and black and green and Hindu and Muslim, all that is un-Islamic. Un-Islamic. And we do it even in our SMSs. I get them sometimes. And I respond normally to say, the Prophet ﷺ would not have did it this way. Subhanallah. Don't be offended if I have responded to you in that way, because it's my duty. And it's all our duty. So sometimes we joke about Allah. that, you know, when God made brains, where were you? Astaghfirullah. People laugh at it. But that is blasphemous, haram. You can lose your iman.
قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ.
الله أكبر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about joking. The munafiqeen were joking in a specific occasion about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba, saying these people are greedy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, are you joking about Allah? Are you joking about His signs and about His messengers? Don't present a single excuse. You lost your iman after you were mu'mineen. That means you can lose your iman. Some people say, you know, heaven and hell is like this, and Saint Peter and Saint Paul, we don't need to joke about that. Why must you joke about all that? You must make a joke that doesn't mean much. And sometimes we joke about religions, that, oh, you know, there was a Muslim, there was a Hindu, and there was a Christian. Why? For what? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
وَلَا تَسُبُّوا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّوا اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ.
Do not swear, blaspheme, do not mock, joke about, jeer at the gods that are being called out besides Allah, or those who are calling out gods besides Allah, because they will mock, joke, jeer, blaspheme Allah in return. Who will have caused it? You caused it. You caused it by joking about them, they will joke about you. Today there are jokes flying around about Muslims on the internet. Why? We started it. May Allah protect us. So your joke, remember, it is haram to joke where there is disrespect of anyone, no one. One day you will be disrespected, how would you feel? Those are the limits of the Sharia. I've just mentioned some of them. Now if you want to joke in that manner, joke. When the joke is mentioned, know how to laugh and how much to laugh. And the laughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how it was. And I've mentioned a few points. Now to end, that story that I had promised you, story of laughter, listen carefully. You'll have to use your brain to understand it. It's a true story. There were ulama who went to Sri Lanka. Ulama who went to Sri Lanka. And the people in Sri Lanka, in a certain area, they thought these people are tourists. So they've come here to see certain things. So they said, hey, ya Sheikh, you know, ta'al, come, I show you something. You know, here, Adam alayhi salam was here. You know, Adam, he was here. There is a footprint of Adam. Nazala Adam fil Hind. That is what Ibn Kathir says, fil Bidaya wa Nihaya, in his book. He says, Adam came down in that Indo-Pak region, and in specifically in Sri Lanka. Today what we know as Sri Lanka. So there is an area. They say there is a maqam of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, meaning a little footprint of his. Why there is one, I don't know. Don't ask me. So what happened? These people said, come, we want to show you that place. So these people said, yes, let's go. They wanted to beg for the dunya now. They fell behind the dunya. So they said, no, before we go, you must pay us a tourism. This is, you know, you need to give us money. How much do you want? $50 each. There were four of them. Ooh, big amount. But they thought, we are ulama, we need to see these athar. We need to see this area. They paid $200. These people were gleefully counting the money, checking the notes and everything. And then they took these guys. They took the ulama. And they said, right, let's go. And when they went there, they showed them this footprint. They said, see here. Adam alayhi salam, our forefather, his footprint is here. So now what happened? The ulama looked and they said, yeah, it's right. They, you know, whatever they might have done, they did. Then they looked at these guys and they said, these guys here are scalings. They're just behind money. Let's fix them up a little bit. So they said, you know, you guys, if you go to Egypt, you see the pyramids, don't you? So Fir'aun, you see him, but you also see his house. Isn't it? It's correct. You see his house, where he was. And if you go to Medina, they will show you, this is the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have Sayyid, they call it an Ashraf, and you have different lineages. So if you go to Madinatul Munawwar and you ask someone who knows, hey look, I want to see someone who is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they might take you and show you, hey, come. We take you this gully, that alley, this place, that place. They knock on a door, they open you, they take you inside. Subhanallah. It can happen. So we are here in Sri Lanka. We have seen the footprint of Adam. We want to see some of the children of Adam if they are around. And we want to see the houses of the children of Adam if they are here. These people looked at each other and said, no, Adam's children are all gone. And the house is finished. There's no more. Subhanallah. So who are you? You are the children of Adam. And the houses are all yours. If you want to make money, tell the people, I'll show you the children of Adam. Come, come, give us $50. Then when they give, say, look at me. Subhanallah. When they give, show them your house. Allahu Akbar, Kabira. So the moral of that story is sometimes we are in a situation, but we are so engrossed in the dunya that we forget that situation. It's a fact. Why I also mentioned this example is the topic I spoke about today. Every day we are living in it. We talk every day, we walk every day, we laugh every day, we do business every day. But because we are so worried about the dunya and we've forgotten the sunnah of Rasulullah, we never even think to ourselves that there is a sunnah about this particular thing. That is the moral of the story. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. My dear brothers and sisters and listeners, every time you do anything, ask yourself, is this the best way of doing it? If it isn't, it cannot be the sunnah. Now tell me the last question. If you adopt a life like that, you walk properly, you drive properly, you talk properly, you do business properly, you whatever you do, you laugh properly, you meet your appointments properly, you dress appropriately, everything done. Don't you think Islam will spread automatically? Automatically, people will look at you and they'll want to talk to you. Hey, you know what, these people, just take a look at them. Clockwork, man. Everything is dead right. Subhanallah. But today, we have left the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya ayyuhal insanu hal tabki lima abkani Araayta maza qad hasal fil alamil hayrani.
Oh people, do you cry for the same reason that I cry? Look around you and see what is going on in this world that is full of turmoil and chaos. Let us learn to adopt, inshallah, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, start with anything. If it means start with your speech, start with it. Start with this, start with it. And develop every day. There is a point or two that you must work on. And wallahi, you can become such that there will come a time when, subhanallah, you will also be so content with what Allah has given you. Because Allah says, whoever does good deeds and whoever is a mu'min, first I will give them a good life in this dunya. They will be content. Good life does not mean you have a big Mercedes and a room, a house with 10 rooms and so on, and servants serving you whole day and whole night. That does not necessarily mean a good life. Good life means contentment. You are happy with what you have. If you are sleeping under a tree and you are happy, wallahi, to you that is the best life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us happiness. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. We make a short dua. Allahumma salli ala nabina Muhammad wa ala ali nabina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, we have committed so many sins that we have lost count. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, we always turn to you for forgiveness. Ya Allah, you are the only one who can forgive our sins. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are the greatest. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, whatever we have done, Ya Allah, that which we know and that which we have forgotten and that which we don't even know. Ya Allah, forgive us all our sins and help us from this day on not to commit sin, Ya Allah. Make us strong, Ya Allah, and protect us from shaitan. Ya Allah, shaitan comes to us day and night, but if we have your protection and your assistance, Ya Allah, he will not be able to achieve anything from us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us to read our salawat on time, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, you guide us to fulfill our salawat, Ya Allah. And guide us to be the best Muslims, to be firmly upon the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, his sunnah is so broad that at times we are oblivious that certain issues are even from the sunnah, Ya Allah. Grant us the ability to comprehend the broadness of the sunnah and to fulfill it step by step, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the ability to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a way that when we get there on the day of Qiyamah, we will be given his intercession, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us resurrection with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us Jannah in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us from amongst those whom you love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, love us, Ya Allah. And let us love those who love you, Ya Allah. And guide us, Ya Allah, at all times towards goodness, Ya Allah. Protect us from evil, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, safeguard this ummah. Ya Allah, safeguard this ummah from evil, Ya Allah. Safeguard the women of the ummah. Safeguard the youth of the ummah. Safeguard the entire ummah, Ya Allah. This ummah is bleeding at the moment, Ya Allah. Make us responsible people who can contribute positively to the upliftment of this ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, indeed we are guilty of not fulfilling the sunnah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us. Help us to become the best of people, Ya Allah. Help us so that we can spread deen, Ya Allah, through your permission. Ya Allah, use us to serve this deen and use our children to serve this deen, Ya Allah. And our offspring, Ya Allah, to serve this deen. Ya Allah, the enemies of Islam, guide them to Islam. Ya Allah, the enemies of Islam, guide them to Islam and soften their hearts towards Islam, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, if any enemy is planning to destroy us or to harm us, Ya Allah, you protect us from that destruction and that harm, Ya Allah. In whatever way you wish, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not allow the enemies of Islam to harm us, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, all the Muslims, make them strong, Ya Allah. Make them strong and make them so strong that they can become protectors of this deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us pious offspring who will be the coolness of our eyes, Ya Allah. All those who are married and do not have offspring, Ya Allah, grant them offspring, Ya Allah, through your power and your qudra. And Ya Allah, grant them offspring who will be the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. Use our offspring to serve this deen, Ya Allah. All those who are married, grant them happiness in their marital homes. All those who are not married, Ya Allah, grant them spouses who will be the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. Suitable to them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who have proposed, Ya Allah, you grant them, Ya Allah, success in whatever way you have written, Ya Allah. And grant them goodness, Ya Allah, in whatever way you have written, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who have passed away, have mercy on them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant them Jannah and grant them forgiveness and make their graves gardens from amongst the gardens of paradise, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ill, cure them. Ya Allah, those who have terminal sicknesses and illnesses, cure them, Ya Allah. And if you have not written cure for them, grant them the sabr in such a manner that you will give them a great reward in the akhirah for the sabr that they have undertaken, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, all those, Ya Allah, who are healthy, keep them healthy. And let them use that health towards your obedience, Ya Allah, and to serve this deen in one way or another, Ya Allah. All those who are wealthy, Ya Allah, keep them wealthy and grant them barakah in their wealth, Ya Allah. And let them use that wealth to serve your deen in one way or another, Ya Allah. In such a way that when they get into the akhirah, they will see the fruits of the wealth that they have used in your path, Ya Allah. All those who are suffering economically, Ya Allah, solve their problems, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, everyone who is seated here, everyone who is listening, Ya Allah, has different problems, different difficulties, different issues they may be going through, Ya Allah. You know what the hearts are going through, Ya Allah, even before we utter anything, Ya Allah. Help everyone in their problems, in their difficulties, and solve for them whatever matters they may be having, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us in every way, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the day we die, take us with shahadat, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Allah, take us with that shahada on our tongues and grant us Jannah in return, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us Jannah through your mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if you are to look at our deeds, we will be disgraced. We have committed so much evil, Ya Allah. But we have hope in your mercy that through your mercy, you will grant us Jannah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the day we go into our graves, Ya Allah, you be our light in the dark graves, Ya Allah. You be our light and lighten that grave, Ya Allah, and make it a garden from amongst the gardens of paradise, Ya Allah. When the angels come to question us in our graves, Ya Allah.